So today, the title of my sermon is Maintaining a Heart of Thankfulness to God. Maintaining a Heart of Thankfulness to God. And you're going to be turning in the Word of the Lord to Matthew 6. That's where we're going to be going first. Matthew 6, 19 through 33. Matthew 6, 19, 33. So if you got your phones or you got your Bible with you today, I'm old school. I bring the Word this way. And I don't, sometimes I look it up in my phone, but most of the time I read my Bible, bring it with me everywhere I go. Hallelujah. Maintaining a heart of thankfulness. I think we've really worshiped the Lord this morning, so bringing this word is just a wonderful to just add to what we've already experienced in this place today. And the world is always telling us that we need more. I don't know if you've noticed it or not. I'm not a big television watcher, but when my family watches television and I'll hear it from the next room or whatever, I'll always hear, and you need this gadget and you need this phone and you need this and you got to have this car and you got to have the latest. And if you ride this, it'll be the best car ever. And this is the most sleek car and the fastest car. And then you need this face cream because you're getting old and you got to have more stuff and you need more things. And this is the cream that's going to help you. And then just when you think you got it down with your clothing attire, a new season comes in, and then they tell you that you need these kind of clothes and you got to have this kind of shirt, and then these are the glasses that you need. And in the jeans factor, we've went from bell bottoms to the boot cuts to the slims, and now we're down to the straights. And so, you know, you've got all of these different styles, all of these things pressing on your mind 24/7. The advertisement never stops. They're always telling you, you've got to have more, and you need this, and you need that, and you need this, and you need that. And what it does is, if we're not careful, we forget to do just what we did this morning, which is stop and just worship Him for all that He has done for us. To be grateful and thankful. And I'm just going to tell you that we miss out on a lot of joy by not thanking Him. We miss out on so much joy by not stopping and just giving praise to God. Abby just got a new house, and I saw on Facebook where she sent a picture out, and it was a sunset. It was so beautiful. And she was reflecting on how thankful she was that God had given her a place to live and how grateful she was. And she was just taking that moment and that time to thank the Lord. That's what we all need to do in our lives, and that will stimulate joy. You know, it's kind of like when your child comes up to you. If they're always saying they need more, they need more, they need more, they need more, it just becomes like you're this money pit, and you've just got to supply all their needs or they're not going to be happy. And there's something about taking that child when they're young and saying, see this toy that you have. See this? God gave that to you. Taking the time to show them that God provided you with the resources and with a job and with all the things that He's provided you. And now you're able to bless them and to provide for other people. And it's so important to start young and to do that when they're little, and then raise them up with a heart. Because you know what happens? They're always looking to see what God did or what God's going to do. And it just develops in them this attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. And there's something beautiful about having an attitude of gratitude. It makes you thankful for everything. I mean, even the difficult circumstances. When we get to a place when all we're doing is wanting more and more and more and more and more, and this isn't enough, and I'm not thankful for this phone. I need another phone, and I need another car. I don't even like this car. It's got rust on the back. If something happens inside of us that we just get all discontent. Have you ever experienced that? You know, it reminds me of Willy Wonka. Now, I'm not talking about the new Willy Wonka. I'm talking about the old school Willy Wonka. How many know that? Okay, Willy Wonka. And there's this Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And through this Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the old one, it teaches principles through it. And so there's one part where we've got this young lady called, what was her name? Veruca Salt. Do you remember Veruca? He remembers. And she's there, and her father has given her every single thing, and she just wants more, and she sings this song. She goes, I want the world. I want the whole world. I want to lock it all up in my pocket. It's my bar of chocolate. Give it to me now. I mean, y'all remember that? Right. And so it's this greedy expression of a spoiled child not thankful for what has been provided and only sees what more they need, never taking the moment to see how thankful and how good God is right now, right here in this moment. And so we need that time of reflection. We need that time. So one of the things I want to say is sometimes when we see only what we need, we cannot be thankful for what we have. Sometimes when we see only what we need or what we want, we cannot be thankful for what we have. If you look around, someone has more and you want that. You need what they have. Your stuff is old. You need new stuff. But if we stop for just a moment and when we start taking an inventory of everything that God has provided for us, we see how beautifully He has taken care of us. And somebody else has less than you. Somebody else is struggling today. Somebody else is in a darker place, or maybe in a place where they need more. And we just need to stop and appreciate what God has done for us and be thankful. And then you know what? You know what that stimulates? It stimulates our heart to help other people in need. And that's a beautiful thing. When the Holy Spirit prompts you to bless somebody else because you are aware that He has blessed you. Something beautiful happens in all of that. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about worrying about stuff and things. And He's addressing these issues that we deal with even today. The Bible is so relevant to everyday life because He still gives us the word that we need 2,000 years later. And it's a powerful word of truth. In verse 19 it says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. What a powerful statement. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will be also. Do you know that is a motive statement? That's not one of these you just pass by. Where is my treasure? Where is my treasure? Do I love God more than I love anything else? What is ruling my life? Who is governing my life? To hear that statement, you have to do a self-exam and say, is He in the number one spot? Or are my concerns about things that I want and things that I may need, but God hasn't given them to me at this moment, is that the number one spot? Who's in that first place? For wherever your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. And when your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, How deep is that darkness? What he's saying is, if the light that you have is really in reality darkness, you're deceived. You're deceived. The eye is a good thing. It's with our eyes that we see things that we need. We see things that other people need. And the eye is also an entrance place. So it opens us up to see things that we need to see. Things in the spirit, things in the natural. And we're able to take in. But he says, be careful what you're taking in. Whatever becomes something you can't live without might be your God. And it's hard to be thankful for God when other things have taken his place. Right? So he says, be careful not to be deceived. That's why we do that self-exam on a daily basis. I don't know. Do y'all do a self-exam? I do every day. I repent every day of my life. I'm thinking I probably thought something, did something, said something that was wrong. My motive might have been wrong. My purpose might have been wrong. And I get it clean. I go into the prayer room and I get it clean. And sometimes even through the day, if I catch myself, I'll have said something or thought something, the Holy Spirit will quicken me, right? He'll quicken you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He'll quicken you and he'll deal with you. And I want you to know you should be thankful for the Holy Spirit doing that. That's something to really be thankful for. That God not only dwells in the heavens, but he lives in you. The Bible says that that same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you and quickens you. That's what we mean when he says quicken. Just as quickly as Jesus rose from the grave, that's how he quickens us in our heart and in our spirit. And he reminds us of things and he shows us things and he reveals things. And so I'm grateful for the working of the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful that he deals with me about things in my life that I can deal with, that I need to be dealt with so that I can be appreciative of the things around me. And I'm appreciative of the work of the Holy Spirit. He says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, everybody needs money. We all have to have resources. We all have to have finances. We have to be able to work and to be able to provide for our families and our children. We have to have a job. We have to have income. It's just when the love of money becomes more important than the love of God. And that love of money drives us to a place to where we can't be satisfied or happy without having more. So the love of money at times causes us to become greedy, and then we're not appreciative for what we have. We're not thankful for what God has provided for us because all we see is what more we need. And I need more of this, and I need more of that, and I need that and this. And the Lord wants us to be a joyful people, giving praise unto God, thanking him for what he has done for us, and acknowledging his goodness in our life, because how many knows he is a good father? He is a good father. And just being able to say that to him is delightful. You're a good father. And he provides for us is a beautiful thing. But sometimes if we love money, how many knows that corporations will begin to shrink the size of their employees down and they'll whittle away the resources from those so they can have more. So they'll mistreat their employees so that they can have more. Not thankful for the labor, not thankful for the work that they're doing, and they begin to depreciate others. The love of money will do that. Greed and covetousness. That's why these sins are listed in the Ten Commandments, because greed and covetousness is this hunger and thirst for the world and the things that are in it, and it takes away the thankfulness of a heart to give praise to God. That he's provided everything for us. That is why I tell you, Jesus said, not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink and enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your life worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, and yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have such little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink and what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And again, he reminds us, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. In other words, be thankful for what you have today. Don't allow the world to keep pressuring you to get more and more and more and more, that you're not going to be happy without a better house and a better car and a better this and a better that. Just know that your Father knows how to take care of you. And he uses nature as an example of how beautifully he's made. How many have seen the birds this spring? They're out there. They got plenty of worms. They ain't having no problem. Joyce Myers will always say, I've never seen a bird on a branch having a breakdown. I don't know if there's going to be any worms. I don't know if they're going to put those breadcrumbs out or the seeds in that bread feeder. I don't know. It could be a bad day. You know, they don't do that. They're up there just going, thank you, Lord. Look at that one. Mrs. Parsons just threw out a loaf of bread. It's 3 days old, but it's great for me. You know, and they're just appreciative. Appreciative people are thankful for everything. And they see value in everything. They see value in the smallest things and the greatest things. And they're just thankful for it. I pray, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that our eyes will be open to the goodness of God. Because it's all around us. And it's every second of every day. And we just need our eyes to be opened to his beauty and his goodness and his faithfulness. Just think about it. God didn't have to give you the ability to be able to smell the beautiful flowers. But he did. Because he wanted you to enjoy them and to smell them. God didn't have to give you all the things that we have, but he did because he wants you to have them. And he's not against having things. He's just against those things having our heart more than him, because it breeds ungratefulness and breeds greed. And that takes away from the beauty of being able to worship him and thank him for all that he's done for us. So point one, sometimes when you only see what you want or what you need, then we forget to be thankful, and we need to be thankful for everything that he has done for us. Number point two, be thankful in all circumstances. Oh boy. We just got through a series of teachings called The God of Uncomfortable Places. How that God will at times to sharpen us and to hone us and to bring us into different seasons. He'll begin to bring us to places that are uncomfortable. He'll begin to prune our life in some areas that we need to be pruned. Areas where they've needed to be cut off. Things have needed to be cut off a long time ago, but we didn't deal with it. But now God's making us deal with it. You know, God will bring you to those places in your life. Not because he's cruel, but because he loves you. Remember, God's motives are always for your benefit. People, at times, we do things for others, sometimes for our own motives. But it's not that way with your Father in heaven. He is a Father who does things for your benefit. And that means even discipline or even bring you to places that ultimately, you know, he wounds, but he heals. If it's going to save your life, he's going to take you there. If it's going to help you become a better person, he's going to take you there. If it's going to get rid of some attitudes in your life, he's going to take you there. The God of uncomfortable places. And here's the thing. We're to be thankful for that in our life. I'm thankful for that. I'm telling you, if God hadn't have stepped in some places in my life and took me out of situations and brought me into situations, I would have been dead. I would have been in a mess. If I would have led my own life and did it my way, it would have cost me greatly. I'm thankful for God who brings us sometimes to challenging situations. And in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, it says, thank God in everything. The Amplified says, no matter what the circumstance may be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. If you're looking for the will of God, guess what it is? Be thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances. Woo! In all. It says all, A-L-L, a small word, very powerful. Be thankful for God in all circumstances. All circumstances. And if you can, once again, use that Matthew 6, if you can allow your eyes to be opened, and if you can allow the Spirit of God to bring revelation to your heart, He will show you things in that season and in that circumstance that you would have never seen any other time in your life. You'll know God greater in that circumstance. You'll see Him more and hear Him more and be able to know your God. That's really what the purpose is to have a relationship with God. And then the circumstance develops you in your Christ-like character. So allow Him to have His way. Allow the circumstance to bring you into that place. It's the will of God. It's the will of God to be thankful in all circumstances. This is God's way of maturing us. It is. He wants us to grow up in our faith, to grow up in our relationship with God. These situations bring us to that place. He's teaching us to live in a thankful state for even the most difficult places in our life, even the most difficult. Point three is have a thankful mouth. I mean, come on. Sometimes our mouth needs to go back to the altar and get saved. The things that we say, the things that we hear ourselves saying. Have you ever just heard yourself say something and said, ugh, maybe I shouldn't have said that? You know, the Holy Spirit quickens you at that moment. In Ephesians 5 and 4, it says, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Let your mouth praise Him. Let your mouth praise Him. Let's go to Psalms 19 real quick. There's a powerful scripture there in Psalms 19, right at the end. I love Psalms 19. It's beautiful. Go to Psalms 19. You might get there before I will. Listen to this beautiful psalm that David is declaring out of his mouth. That's what we've done here today. We've taken the instruments, our hands, our mouth, our heart, and we've given it to God to worship. It says, let the heavens proclaim the glory of God. David is singing this out of his mouth. He said, the skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make Him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The law of the Lord is true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servants, a warning of a great reward to those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these sinful thoughts. Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditations, the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Listen to how he just began to look at all of God's creation and just begin to give worship and praise with his mouth. He began to honor him with his mouth. He began to thank him for all the things that he had created and all the wonders. I love reading Job. You get down to those last in chapters and he starts laying out his creation. He starts laying out the crocodile and the ostrich, and he starts laying out the sun and the frost, and he starts declaring all of these wonders from God, and all he can do is just, whoa, what a God! What an amazing God! What a fabulous God! What a fantastic creator! You're beyond my understanding. I give you praise. I give you glory. Oh my God, do not let the words of my mouth or even the thoughts of my heart be sinful. Let them be pleasing in your sight. Thankfulness comes from the inside, but it expresses itself through the lips, through the uplifting of hands. Thankful, a thankful mouth. You say, well, how do I keep this attitude of gratitude, keep these thoughts and thankfulness coming before the Lord? How do I do that? How do I make that happen? It's a discipline to discipline your thoughts and your words. Do you know that? It takes the Holy Spirit. If you go to James, he said, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly member. It takes the Holy Spirit to quicken you, to teach you how to speak. And so with our mouth, we want to give praise unto God, and we want to thank him. He says, out of your mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings, and this, my brother, ought not to be so. The things that we speak either give glory to God or they bring us down to a fleshly manner. So how do we keep our thoughts on the Lord with thanksgiving? I started writing a journal this year, just a few weeks ago, on at least three things, at least. Now, mind you, there could be multitudes upon multitude, pages upon pages upon pages of gratitude for the Lord. But making a discipline of myself to thank the Lord intentionally for things that he had done in my life. So I got this little book, and I started writing things in it. And I, for instance, it says, thank you, Lord, for. And then I put one, Corey and Sarah getting the house that you have chosen for them. Thank you, Lord, for being able to come this morning in the Spirit and pouring out the Spirit of God in the house of God. Right? Aren't you thankful for God's presence this morning? I mean, he's been moving mightily and so beautifully in this house. His glory has been coming every week. I put on there, thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for eternity. And then I heard a good report of one of our brothers in the faith that the Lord had removed a diagnosis that he had actually been taking medicine for over a year. He had been taking medicine for a diagnosis that and a sickness that he did not even have, and the Lord revealed it to him through the doctors and through a test, and he was cleared of the diagnosis. And here's my thank God, thank you for, and I listed this person. What a good report. Grateful that he had removed this diagnosis of Parkinson's. It was a diagnosis of Parkinson's from this particular person. So my praise doesn't just consist of the things that God's doing for me. My thankfulness consists of the things that he's doing for you. The things that he's doing in the house of God. The things that he's doing among his people. I'm just as happy for Abby's house as she's happy. When she's happy, I'm happy. That makes me happy. I'm grateful for what God's doing in your life as well as grateful for all the things that God has done for me. So keeping a journal is just one way to be able to constantly keep in mind that because the world is always pulling on us that you need more and you need the world and you need everything and you need all this stuff and you aren't going to be happy until you have it. And all of that is a downer, by the way. Because it pulls you down and sucks you down. Because sometimes it tells you that you need it, but it doesn't provide a way for you to have it at the moment. And maybe the Lord doesn't want you to have it right at that moment. Maybe the Lord's doing some other things in your life and He's teaching you how to be faithful with your finances. Maybe He's teaching you other things that are essential for you in the long run. You see, the world wants things now. Now. I want it now. I want it yesterday. But God isn't like that. He loves you so much that He wants to teach you the principles that will help you in your life long term. Not a quick fix. Long term. The Bible says little by little a thing is established. And it's good to give thankful to God for His process. Be thankful for the process. Be thankful that He just didn't give you a quick hamburger and sent you on your way and said, just go, be warm and be fed. Be thankful that He provided you with a job, that He provided you with an income, that He's teaching you how to manage your money. All of these things. Be thankful for the process, the process. The process is maturity. Growing up in your relationship with God and Christ. Growing up in the Word. So keep a journal. This is going to help you a lot in being able to be thankful. I'm trying to give you some practical tips on how to discipline yourself to be thankful. And finally, in point number four, finally, rehearse His goodness in your life. Rehearse it. And let's go, while we're in Psalms, just flip on over there to Psalms 103. It's a beautiful Psalms. I love David. This, by the way, that he was a man after God's own heart, and this is why. He was grateful. He was thankful. He was a worshiper. He loved God. When he sinned, he confessed his sins, and he dealt with them. And his sincerity in worship was just as sincere when he repented. It was. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. He says in Psalms 103, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives me of my sins and heals me of all of my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed His character to Moses and His way. He revealed His character to Moses and His deeds to the people. Another translation says, He revealed His ways to Moses and His mighty acts to the people. I want to know His ways. I want to know His ways because I want to see Him in all the glory of who He is, as well as see Him in the acts. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. How many can say amen to that? That's one thing to be extremely thankful for. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. I mean, remove them. Remove them. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. For He knows how weak we are, and He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and we die. The wind blows and we are gone. And as if we had never been there. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear Him. His salvation extends to the children's children. To your children's children. Woo! I'm thankful for that. I'm teaching my Harper Riley how to worship. She's 9 months old. Every day we get in front of the computer, I'll turn on the Pentecostals of Alexandria. And we will worship to the way maker, to the God of the throne room. And she gets it. I just turn the thing around towards her and she starts giggling. She starts going. She knows we're going to worship. She knows we're going to praise the Lord. And she'll move her feet and she'll go like this and she'll kick and stuff. He gives that inheritance to your children and your children's children. Keep following the Lord, parents. Keep seeking God. Even if you're a single parent and you're doing it all by yourself, you just keep going after God. You just keep revealing Christ to your child and your children. Keep on going because that inheritance is yours as long as you follow the Lord. You want your children to know God. You want them to see Him as Father. You want them to be saved and be in eternity. That's all my mama prayed. Oh God, save my family, save my children. You know why? Because this world is passing and eternity is forever. So we've got to raise our children. That's a promise. I'm thankful for that. Thankful that my children are serving the Lord. His salvation extends to our children's children, of those who are faithful to His covenant and those who obey His commandments. The Lord has made the heavens His throne, and there He rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out His plans, listening for each of His commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve Him and do His will. Praise the Lord, everything He has created, everything in all His kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Woo! Let me just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me and all that He's done for you. And let that joy fill your heart, because thanksgiving gives way to joy, and joy gives way to the utterances of praise out of our mouth and to our God. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, what a beautiful day at Glad Tidings. Thank you for each and every person here today. We're so grateful for those who are listening on the radio, listening online, and those who are here in this building today. May the glory of the Lord apprehend you. May He bring you into the fullness of His heart for you. He created you with a plan and with a purpose in mind. He made you and added gifts unto you and personality to you and character to you, so that you would be a living representation of God in the earth, an ambassador of His kingdom, so that other people would watch your life and they would say, that person knows Jesus. He's drawing you into Himself. The greatest, greatest thing ever to be thankful for is the way God loved you through Christ Jesus. All through every stripe that He bore on His body, through every groan that came out of that garden, He was God, God in physical form, the Son of God, making known the love of God to you and to me. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to come, but He did. He did because He loves you and He loves me, and I am so grateful and thankful for salvation and eternal life. And I pray that those who are listening today, you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior. You have not given your life to Him. You've heard about Jesus, but you don't know Him. He is the only door, the only entrance into the eternal kingdom. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Islam, not any other religion. Only through Christ, only through Jesus, the Son of the living God, are you accepted into the eternal kingdom, and are you accepted by the Father. There's no other way. But what a way! All other religions require that you die for their God, but not Christ, not our God. He says, I will die for you so that you can come and be with me. If you will surrender your life, if you'll give up your own way of doing it and allow me to come, I will be your God and you will be my my people. I will fill you with my spirit, and I will walk with you all the days of your life. You'll never know what it's like to be lonely. If you go astray, I'll draw you back. I'll gently bring you into myself. If you continue and persistently go that direction, I will cause an uncomfortable circumstance to come into your life to bring you back to me. Why? Because whom I love, I discipline. I correct. I show you your faults. I long for you to be with me. Don't go that way. Come this way. Let me guide your life. You're the way maker. Make a way for your people today, as you made a way for us to have eternal life, and calls us to see how good you are. Oh, we're surrounded by your goodness. Turn off the television, turn off Twitter, turn off the negativity of the news and the media, and worship your God. His goodness is being displayed to you everywhere. Lift up your hands. Turn off the lies and the deceptions that are all around you, and listen to your God love you. Let him show you and reveal to you all that he has done, and give praise to your God. If you don't know the Lord, today is the day of salvation. He's waiting for you to say yes. Yes unto his Son. Yes unto the Son. If you're backslidden and you've walked away from God, return to your God. He is calling you and bidding you to return. He will take you into his arms, and he will forgive you of your sins and your iniquities as you confess them before him, and he will gather you together in his arms, and he will love you and forgive you. May the Lord guide your life. May you see him in every flower. May you see him in the blowing of the wind and on the provision that he provides to you. May you give praise to him for his care for your life. May you acknowledge his goodness and his wonder through thanksgiving and through praise. And may you ever be aware of his abiding presence and press into him, for his love is better than any other love, and his life is for all eternity. Bless your people.